2 weeks have now passed since that triple disaster in Japan. The earthquake and the tsunami, they passed quickly, although they left devastation behind them. The nuclear crisis, on the other hand, continues and in some ways is escalating. This morning, we have news from Japanese nuclear safety officials that possibly the reactor core at one unit of that troubled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, the inner containment wall, may have been breached. That raises the possibility of a more severe radioactive contamination to the environment there. We're joined this morning by Henry Fountain, science reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Henry, I hope you can first address this newest headline about the idea that they may have had a breach of the inner containment wall reactor 3. It uses MOX fuel. And maybe you can explain why MOX fuel is particularly troubling.
MOX fuel is particularly troubling because it's not just uranium. It contains plutonium as well. It's MOX stands for mixed oxide fuel. So it contains both. And plutonium is highly radioactive and lasts a long time in the environment. So the potential for the radiation release, if extensive radiation is released, is potentially a lot worse.
Describe a lot worse for me, because I'm reading from these AP reports that, in fact, when they tested the water that these employees accidentally stepped in while they were doing repairs, it was 10,000 times more radioactive than they expected it to be.
I think what they said was 10,000 times more than normal, that's not necessarily an indication of plutonium. That's just an indication that a fair amount of radioactive water has spilled into that area. But that's troubling because that indicates there's probably some problem with the containment. And that's reactor number 3. And until now, the assumption had been that that containment was okay.
Well, we also had news this week, and I just want you to kind of explain this to me, because we seem to be getting both good news and bad news out of this nuclear power plant, sometimes about the exact same reactors. We heard that they got the power restored at all the 6 reactors. That's good news, although they haven't repaired all of the cooling systems yet. Exactly what is the landscape of this nuclear crisis? Is it escalating? Is it getting better?
I don't think it's really escalating necessarily, though that certainly this morning's development is could be viewed as an escalation. It doesn't seem to be getting better either, though. It's a very complicated situation. There's 6 reactors, of which 3 are basically in trouble. And then there's these 4 spent fuel pools as well. So part of the problem is that even the people that are there on site don't really have a firm handle on what's going on. As you said, the power hasn't really been restored. They can't even get into the control room for number 2 to restore the power because it's too radioactive in there. So they're flying in the dark as much as anybody is.
Well, the uncertainty is frightening. The fact that this is nuclear is sort of inherently frightening. And it is a big mess, that's for sure. I mean, we just see evidence of mess, whether it's steam or puddles or workers dragging stuff through radioactive puddles of fluid. But I'm just wondering, if compared to the devastation of the tsunami itself, if the media doesn't sort of focus sort of almost in a knee-jerk fashion on the nuclear issues, when clearly those waves that came from the ocean have had a much bigger human impact.
Well, they certainly had a much bigger sort of immediate human impact. And in fact, I've been sort of thinking about that a lot, and I did a story that's in the paper this morning about how even 2 weeks after the tsunami, engineers don't even really know the full extent of the infrastructure damage in that part of Honshu. Mm. Apart from the nuclear problem, there's sewage treatment plants destroyed, there's water distribution and electrical distribution that's destroyed. There's obviously lots of roads, rail lines destroyed. So, you're right. There's a huge, huge other disaster out there.
But I'm wondering if the worst-case scenario has changed. We're speaking to Henry Fountain, who's the science reporter for our partner, The New York Times. At one point, in the very early days of the nuclear crisis, they said, well, perhaps one of the worst-case scenarios is a complete meltdown. We have had a partial meltdown at this point. Is this leak in the containment wall, is that now our worst case scenario?
Well, it depends on it depends on what the reason for it is. And again, they really don't know. It could be a breach in the containment. It could even be a breach in the actual reactor vessel, which is inside the containment. It could be, as they suggest, it could be just a plumbing problem somewhere. The problem is they don't know. The real problem. Radiation can leak and leak. The problem is when it gets into the atmosphere. So you know, it's certainly not the worst case scenario yet, but I guess it's true it has escalated.
All right, so Henry Fountain, help me explain, number one, what's causing the uncertainty. I mean, you said that in some cases the uncertainty is caused because they can't even reach some of these areas, which means, of course, that they can't carry out repairs and also means they can't get good measurements.
They can't get complete measurements. They have some. They know, for instance, they've restored pressure readings within the reactors and temperature measurements and things like that. But they really have no, you know, firm idea of the conditions inside the reactor core, between the reactor core and the containment. You know, there's a lot of there's basically a lot of uncertainty there.
You know, I was talking with a physicist, and maybe he was just speaking off the top of his head, but I want to put this to you, Henry Fountain, because you cover this stuff as a science reporter for the Times. He was saying that, you know, this is all about waves, energy waves, whether we're talking about geologic waves in the Earth, which caused the quake, or the tsunami waves, which are simple sort of fluid mechanical waves. But the damage from the nuclear energy is also something that propagates in waves. It's a curious kind of commonality to all three of these disasters.
Well, you know, one thing, it's true that the, I don't know if it's a wave necessarily, but it's true that, you know, we've heard all these, every day it seems like the radiation levels around the plant fluctuate, and the radiation in the water supply of Tokyo's water supply was up very high one day and then was down the next. I think, you know, maybe that's not so much due to waves as it's due to just weather more than anything else.
And
you know,
the mess.
Yeah.
The whole thing, of course, is complicated by the fact that it's one of the most densely populated places in the world. Tokyo has 35 million in its metro area, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So if this were in an area not as dense, we really wouldn't be talking about this in the same way.
Well, you know, in fact, the area, you know, with a 20-30 mile zone around the plant is not as heavily populated, certainly, as Tokyo. So in some respects, it's... you know, the impact might be less, but, you know, we're talking about a major urban country, so it's a big deal.
And at this point, the uncertainty seems to be lasting longer than the initial crisis there at the plant. At the meantime, they're going on with recovery, and I assume that they're still having trouble getting aid to some of the people in the area, the evacuation area. Henry Fountain's a science reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much, Henry.
Thank you.